Well, I really want to continue tonight on a subject that I was speaking about on Sunday. And for those who are in listening to this message and those also in the room, will be a bit familiar tonight with some of the things that I was addressing there. And for those of you who are taking notes, we're going to call this tonight, Life and Death Can Be in the Power of the Tongue. Life and Death Can Be in the Power of the Tongue. And I want us to turn first to a familiar chapter and verse in Proverbs 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18 and verse 21, which reads, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." And that's why tonight I've called Life and Death Can Be in the Power of Tongue. Notice that I've used it such in the tense that it can be, because often we find that we can be under spiritual battle with regards to our confession. And you see, the problem is that all our lives we've been taught to confess the negative. All our lives, until Christ has come into our life and changed our lives and turned us around, we up and then were confessing the negative. We were confessing what the world was confessing. We were confessing what our parents were confessing and what their forebears were confessing and their parents and so on. And so we find that these negative things that we were confessing can certainly be an ancestral thing and can come through family lines. And we confess such things like this. Can these chest pains that I'm having in my chest, could this be a heart attack? We can confess that. Or, I can't eat this. I will be sick or have side effects if I eat this, or if I eat pork, or I eat whatever it would be. Or, I can't afford it because I just haven't got enough money. Or, I know it will rain today. It always does when we go on holiday or when I go out for the day. Or, we confess I don't feel well. It must be either a cold or it's the flu that's coming on. Or, why does this always happen to me? It never seems to happen to anybody else, but it always seems to happen to me. Or, if I go for this interview for a job, I probably won't get it because somebody else will get it who's more qualified than I am. And so it goes on. That is all our life. That is what we were confessing. And the Bible tells us that on the basis of confession is what we can and will receive. So, let's look into this and see what the problem is. The Christian faith, we've got to remember this, is a confession of what we believe, but it's also a confession of what we say. And I've got scripture for this to back this up. For example, something you know very well in Romans 10 and verse 10. And here we see that our Christian faith is on the basis of belief and confession, or confession and belief. And it says in Romans 10, verse 10, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Confession and belief is about confession. So therefore, what comes out of our mouth is very, very important as believers. And at times we fall very, very short in what we confess over ourselves, over our circumstances, and we certainly are not confessing what God says in his word. It also says also in John chapter 12, verse 42, John 12, chapter 12, and verse 42, and here it says here, verses 42 and 43, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." Here it is. Look at this. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. In other words, because they were afraid of what the Pharisees were going to do. And as a result of it, that fear was there. So that fear was holding them back with their confession and their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is one of the major things that will hold us back as believers, fear. Fear is Satan's number one weapon that he uses on the world. The world is held in fear. Remember, the Word of God tells us that Satan is the god of this world until the Lord Jesus comes to rule and reign. That is why now we are sojourners. We're no longer under our father the devil, but under our heavenly Father. And up until then, until Christ came into our lives, our confession was held by him under fear. Now, why does Satan use fear? It's obvious. Because he fears God. And he knows his end. And so because Satan and the demons know their end, they want to hold the world and sadly even professing believers under fear. Fear is the number one enemy Satan will use. I am afraid of that. Or I'm fearful that this might be cancer. Or I'm afraid that I might take on flu. Or I'm fearful to eat this. Or I'm afraid to go on that train or on that plane. I know all about fear, and God had to deliver me from a very strong fear in my life. And fears work in many ways. They can work in areas over our life, and many of those fears are ancestral and can come through. Mothers who say fear of spiders or fear certain animals, that fear that they have can be transmitted also onto their children as well. So it's very powerful what we confess and what we say. And so God now, through the work of the Holy Spirit and through the anointed word, is now beginning to set God's people free, and he's doing it on the basis of confession. And you will know what comes out of your mouth, because you will know if faith is present, because faith will always speak if it's there. If it is not there, if unbelief is there, it will speak eventually. And do you know how we hear whether we're in faith or not in faith? It's called trials. Trials will manifest, reveal what is fundamentally in the heart of man. And that's why we're to hold on to our confession, because it's going to be tested. How do I know? Because we need to turn to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our faith or our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So here we are, we're told to hold on to our confession. And it goes on, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And that's exactly what we're doing tonight. We're assembling together and we're exhorting one another, because the time is drawing near and God is now setting deliverance over the overcomers so that we may be ready for Christ when he returns. And so we're told here, let us hold fast the confession of our faith or our hope without wavering. So our whole confession, our whole walk, our whole belief is on the basis of what comes out of our mouth. It is on the basis of confession. What does it say in verses 35 and 36 of the same chapter? Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And so it goes on. So we're not to cast away our confession or our confidence, but we're to hold on to it. You may say to me, yes, but you don't know how I feel. I've gone through a real illness. I feel really bad, and so on. Okay, pain is real. Sickness is real. But the question is, has God changed his promises over your circumstances? You have to choose what to believe. Jesus says that by his stripes we were healed. What are we going to believe? Are we going to believe the doctor's report, or are we going to believe God's report? Are you going to believe that they say that you have got heart trouble, you've got angina, and we're only going to give you 2 years to live? Or are you going to believe what God confesses and what he says over you and what the word of God says? These words have power. People, words that come out, these demons sometimes that can speak out of people can try to sow into your mind. And that is why God is bringing us under the anointing, and he's working with our minds, because that is where the battleground is. It is in your mind. It's not what God has done for you. He says he saved you. He says he's redeemed you. He says all these promises over you, but it's what you choose to believe. And your battle tonight is not your circumstances. It's not what the enemy's trying to put on you. Your battle is in the mind. And you can choose what to believe. And there is the free will. Now, God is rooting out of our minds both the wheat and the tares. And there are still those tares that are in our minds that if we let God do it, he will root them out before they try to take root within our heart and spirit. There is the parable of the sower. And this is why we're told, aren't we? And let's turn to it again. I know I looked at this on Sunday, but we'll turn again to Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So there we are. It says that we're not to be conformed to this world, the spirit of this age, but be transformed. And that transformation is the working of the Holy Spirit. And that is why you need the baptism of the Spirit. Because the baptism of the Spirit has come to take over man's mind and to renew that mind. And he does it by the word and by deliverance. And so as we allow the Holy Spirit to work on our minds, on our attitudes, so we are transformed, we are changed as the word of God, so that we may know and prove what is the perfect will of God. So many believers today just don't know what the will of God is. But we notice here it says the perfect will of God. Now in the Bible, there is a theology there that shows us that we can be in the perfect or permissive will of God. Now, maybe that'll come up in some other subject, but I'll just say in brief that there is a perfect will and there is a permissive will. And we see in Scripture where there are saints who walked in the perfect will of God and also went in the permissive will of God. Samson went into the permissive will of God. Abraham went into the permissive will of God, but God worked with them and brought them back to his perfect will and plan. And sometimes we go out of the will of God, the perfect will of God, into the permissive will of God. But he says there that God works on you, he works on your mind, so that you may know the perfect will of God for your life and be able to walk in that. Because when you go out of the will of God and into the permissive will of God, that is a time of buffeting. That is a time of when blessings can be removed and so on. King David went for a period out of the perfect will of God into the permissive will of God by sinning with Bathsheba. And so there we see why these saints went out of the will of God, because God was also doing a work, a deliverance in their minds, in their thinking. You see, God has to close doors in our mind. Where there are still doors that are open, we are still subject to the enemy. And the enemy can still come and suggest and tempt and allure, and we fall victim to it. And we find ourselves saying to God, Lord, I've done it again. Here I am. I was tempted or I was drawn away. What is it? Why is it I can't overcome in this area? I can overcome in other areas, but I seem to fall in these areas. Well, I'll tell you what it is. It's your thinking. And God has got to work. He's got to change. Here it is, this transforming of the mind. When you wake up in the morning, one of the great things you can do is, in your committal to the day, you can commit your mind to the Holy Spirit, that God will work on your mind this day. And also another confession that you need to make over your mind is that my mind is covered by the blood of Jesus. And God will do that work. And you'll find that this deliverance will start taking place. You'll say to me, well, how do I know when these deliverances start taking place? Well, it's your trials. That is where you have the best deliverance, is when God allows you to go through a trial. And in those trials, you will see what you're thinking. You will hear what you are confessing. You will know if there's those fears that are holding and paralyzing you. Do you not realize that we're like Gideon's army now? God is selecting. He's selecting on the basis of our choosing to believe God's word against how we feel, what circumstances, what may be going on in our minds or whatever. This is how God is working in our minds. And we're still dealing with the question, life and death can be in the power of the tongue. And as I was saying, that the Holy Spirit is doing a tremendous work now upon the overcomers, upon the minds now, that we get that victory in our mind, in our thinking, in our attitudes. Very often our attitudes, just our, the way we think, can defeat us, can draw life or death into that situation. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 2. Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 2, and here it says, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. And here we see in the context of where it speaks about making promises or false promises and so on, the writer here says here that you can be snared by the very words of your mouth. And Satan wants to try and snare the Christian. And if he can hold you by your words, he's got you. He has snared you. And this could be why that there is such hindrances in so many churches. This is why there is a lack of love and harmony and fellowship, because believers are confessing, they are snared by their words. And the Lord is trying to bring a deliverance here. Satan will try and keep us bound and snared by our confession. You see, the world's held by this. The world is held by fear of sickness. Many times we hear over the news media, or we read in newspapers or magazines, that if you eat this food, then you will get heart trouble, or you will get hardening of the arteries and so forth. And so people believe this. And so in the result of believing, these spirits of sickness are released by the powers of darkness. People are held by the fear that they may get cancer. And so as a result of that, they can open that door to those spirits. Did you know that many of these sicknesses, like cancer and other things, these are infirm spirits. There are demons that are attached to this. And on the basis of this, we have to close our minds to many of these things. When you hear these things are said, or when these doctors come on the news and so forth and give out all this negative results, people open their minds to it as though these men, these women are God. And Christians believe this. This is the tragedy. This is why we need to get back into the Word of God, and we need to confess and believe the myriads of these promises that God has given to us in His Word. The question is, dear believer, what report are you going to believe? Are you going to believe what the bank manager says over your finances? Are you going to believe the doctor, what he says over your life? Are you going to believe what the family says over your marriage, over your rebellious son or your daughter that's on drugs? What report are you going to believe? We're all challenged with this. Or are we going to believe what God has said? I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say this again in passing, that this dear woman who held on for years for the salvation of her rebellious son, who was an alcoholic, who was on drugs and so forth, she confessed and believed that he was saved and that he knows Jesus as his Lord and Savior, found a knocking on the door one evening. And she opened that door, and there was a policeman standing at the door there. And he said, "May I come in?" And he said, "I have some terrible, tragic news for you. Your son was found drowned." And he shared for a while, and then he left her because she was waiting to go and identify the body. And she said to the Lord, she said, "Satan, you are a liar." And she got the Word of God, and she stood on that Bible literally, and she confessed that God has saved his son. And she praised and she thanked God, and she believed the Word of God, and she went in the Spirit and she prayed and she interceded. About an hour later, there was a knock at the door, and the same policeman that was there, this time a smile on his face, and he said, "Madam," he said, "I am so, so sorry. It wasn't your son. We have made a mistake." And within her week, her son gave his life to Christ. She chose not to believe those reports. She chose and held on and believed the Word of God, Jesus' promises to us. Friends, what are you believing today? What are you believing now? What are you believing this very moment? What is the enemy trying to put into your minds? Settle it. Settle it. Yes, you may be tested. Yes, what you are believing for, holding on for, may be taking a long time, but God has promised. And if there's any unbelief in you, if you find yourself wavering in the faith, then get it right. Confess it as sin. Come before the Lord. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask God to help you to settle these promises. Because I'm wavering. There's so much unbelief in me. There's so much fear still attacking me. God wants to work with you and me. He's not going to write us off. The very fact that he's speaking to us tonight like he is that he's calling us to settle it. Calling us to confess. Calling us to get those deliverances in our minds so that these doors of doubt and fear and unbelief can be closed. God loves you and me. He wants you to make it because he wants to glorify his name. He wants you to begin to experience these promises, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But the enemy is out to try and rob us, and he's going to try and snare us by our confession. And that is why I'm saying that life and death can be in the power of the tongue. You can speak life and you can speak death. That is the power of the tongue. What are we going to choose to believe? It's very important in our fellowship, in our unity and our oneness, that we speak life over our brothers and sisters, that we encourage them in the faith and with the promises of God. This is why we come together. This is why we're on Pal Talk together. This is why people are coming into this room, so that we can speak life to them and that we can share this to other believers, because life is in the power of God's word. And on that basis, we can choose to believe either life or death. And we've already shown you in Proverbs 6 verse 2 that it's in the tongue. So it is very important what comes out of us. This is why Jesus said, out of our innermost beings shall flow those rivers of living water. It is not stagnant water. It is not lifeless water. He says it's living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow. The word of God is that two-edged sword. And that sword is poised even tonight, dividing unbelief, dividing fear, doubt, the negative. God isn't going to have it in his sight because he's a holy God. And we have to treat unbelief as sin, as though if we've done even a major sin, it is still sin in the sight of God. Sin is sin, period. We grade it. God doesn't. And he sees unbelief as sin. And if it's there, confess. Bow the knee. Get it under the blood of Jesus so that God can work with you and he'll work with your faith. Are you battling in areas of unbelief tonight? Of course you are. Are you battling? You can't break through? You are. And do you know why? Because you've not confessed and brought it under the power of the blood of Jesus, so that the power of God can start to heal you in your mind and start to close those doors where those doors are still open into the mind. You see, you will never progress as a Christian beyond your belief and confession. And that is a fact. What you are believing tonight, what you are confessing tonight, you will never progress beyond that unless you take it seriously. Unless you take your confessions of unbelief seriously, you will never ever move beyond that. You will be held and bound by that. Now God, through the Holy Spirit, is letting God's people go now. They're coming out of bondage. We are seeing now a spiritual exodus taking place, just like Moses with the children of Israel who were bound by the Egyptians, bound in bondage. So the Holy Spirit now is speaking again in these last days through the power and the outpouring of the Spirit, let my people go. But it's on the basis of delivering us. And you will never move beyond your confession. If you still are confessing Babylon, if you are still confessing religion, unbelief, you will never progress beyond that until you bow the knee and you confess it as sin. God wants to set us free. He wants us, there's a promised land to be taken. There's a promised land that we spiritually can move into and take in Jesus' name. Turn with me, if you will, to Proverbs 27, verse 7. Proverbs 27 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. 23, verse 7 of Proverbs. Proverbs 23 and verse 7 says this: "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you." So we're told, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, bearing that in mind, let's couple that with also Matthew 12 and verse 34. Matthew chapter 12. And verse 34, which says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." And so here we see, again, Jesus, he challenges the confession. And where does he challenge the confession? He challenges it with the spiritual leaders, the hypocrites. He exposes their confession. And he says that you're nothing but a load of vipers, and that is what comes out of your mouth. And remember what we also spoke in Proverbs 23, verse 7, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So as you think in your heart, that is what you are. You are fundamentally the sum total of what you think. If you are thinking critical thoughts, if you are thinking resentment, anger, hate, that is what you are. As he says to the scribes and the Pharisees, he says, you think of nothing but hypocrisy. You think nothing but covetousness, greed, idolatry. He says, that is what you are. And that is what comes out of your mouth, you see? And so that is what he challenges us with, you see? And so God is calling for overcomers. And you see, if you confess that you cannot overcome, then the point is you won't. And what we need to see now, as I bring this to conclusion, that God is calling overcomers in this last hour. And I want to show from Scripture that this is the heartbeat of God. This is the message. This is what God is saying to the church now in this hour, that he's calling overcomers to overcome in all things. Now, to do that, it's not by might nor by power. It's going to be by the work of the Holy Spirit. It says in 1 John 5 and verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And so what are we going to confess? Are we going to believe that we are overcomers? God has called us as overcomers. Are we going to confess that? Or are we going to continue just to confess our defeats, unbelief, and so on? Now, in closing, we see in Revelation that there are seven churches to Asia Minor, and each of those churches, there were promises given to those who overcome. And I believe that there are spiritual types today, and that those promises are there. For example, in Revelation 2 and verse 7, it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And so again, for those who overcome, we will have eternal life, partaking of that tree of life. So he says that to those who overcome, you will be with Christ in eternity, in heaven. He also says in the same chapter in verse 11, he says, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. And so we find that there is a promise that we should be partake of the first resurrection, and not partake of the second death, because you don't want to be in the second resurrection. That's death. So there are the promises to those who overcome, who stay with it to the end. And this is the call now to the believers. It also says in Revelation 21 and verse 7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So God is raising sons now. It's called sonship. And sons are going to overcome. Sons are not going to be defeated by their confession, by their circumstances, and so on. Praise God. Well, we'll bring it now to a conclusion now, this teaching. We've been having problems tonight with connection. We've been finding out that the internet, which we use, is a very low signal for some unknown reason. But God knows, and we're not defeated. As I've been saying, we're more than conquerors, we're overcomers. The enemy tonight, the powers of darkness, have not liked this. It's been very evident. But we're not going to be put down. We're going to confess what the Lord Jesus Christ says in his word. And his word is going to go forth, no matter how the enemy tries. And we should continue next week, Lord willing. And I have more on this that I wish to speak over the next few weeks with regard to our confession, because I believe that this is a big deliverance that God is setting amongst the believers, and the powers of darkness know this. But God is going to have our minds conformed with his mind. And how do we know his mind? We know it by the word of God and what we read. And that is why God is getting our confession to line up with his confession. That's where that word homologio, which means to agree, to line up, to speak what God speaks. We notice in Jesus' ministry, he often said, I only do that which the Father reveals, or I speak that which the Father shows. He was showing how he walked. He didn't know anything unless it was revealed by the Holy Spirit. And that is how God ultimately is going to get us, so that we don't know anything unless God shows us. And as he shows us, so then we speak, what we say lines up with what God is revealing. And God will never do or say anything contrary to his revealed word. That is why God now is calling us as overcomers. Do you believe tonight you can and you will overcome all things? Those things in your life, those areas where you're still at the moment failing, areas of unbelief and so on. Well, you can decide and choose what to confess. Because remember, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And you will never move beyond your belief and your confession. And you can confess life or you can confess death. And so if you want that, then the Holy Spirit is going to work with you and he's going to make you very sensitive. And when you say the negative that is contrary to the word of God, you'll be able to, if you want to repent of it and get it under the blood of Jesus. Because God wants us to get this right. And that is how we're going to be a victorious people. And that is how we're going to overcome this world and the spirit of this age. It's impossible otherwise, because you are going to be held and fettered by it. So, like so many of our dear brothers and sisters who are still gripped and held in fear. Remember in the Bible what fear did to the children of Israel, and only the young shepherd boy King David, he was the one who was delivered from fear, was able to go out and slay the giant Goliath. And that is what God is looking for now, because most are going back in fear. Remember that only two went in to possess the promised land, Joshua, Caleb, and it was on the basis of their confession. We're well able to take the giants of the land, and the confession of the children of Israel caused them to perish in the wilderness.